We're doing the Midrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and we're up to the 48th chapter of this Midrash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai patach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai introduced, he began with, "Bayom ahu karat Hashem et Avram berit." On that day, God made a covenant with Abraham. Amar Avram nifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, at that juncture, at that point in time, Abraham says before the Holy One, blessed be He, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, lo natat li zera. You have not given me any seed. Va'ata omer li, lezaracha eten et haaretz hazot. Yet you're telling me my seed will receive this land. You're telling me you will give this land to my seed. But you have yet to give me any children. Shneimar, as the verse says, Hein li lo natata zara. Abraham asks God, you haven't yet given me any seed. Bamayda ki rashena. So, how will I know that I will really inherit the land? And our sages are teaching us a deep point over here. Our sages are teaching us that Avram erred in questioning Hashem, and as a result of this error, Hashem says to him, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham, God says to him, Abraham, kol ha'olam kulo b'diburi hu umed. The whole world is around because I said so. Right? All of creation was God's utterances. Hashem says, let there be light, and there's light. The whole world is around because I said so. Ve'en ata ma'amin bidvarai, you don't trust what I say? Ela ata omer b'mai daki rashena? You're asking me, how will I know that I will inherit this land? Chayecha shtei pa'amin. So God answers him, you asked, how will I know? So God answers him, okay. Yadoa teida. Know you shall know. Ki ger yeyeh zaracha. I'll tell you how it'll play itself out. Your seed will be sojourners in a foreign land, and they will have to work over there. They will be in forced labor camps over there. And then they will come out and inherit this land. You want to know how it'll be? I'll tell you how it'll be. But our sages are telling us another point, a very scary point. Our sages are telling us that had Avram not questioned God, and this is a very difficult thing to say, but this is what the Midrash is telling us. Had Avram not questioned God, it didn't have to play itself out that way. We would not have had those 400 years before entering the land of Israel. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer lo, yeshvu Yisrael b'mitzrayim ela 210 shanim. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, the Jews actually lived in Egypt for 210 years. Tidal chashuchen. I'll prove it to you. Borei, let's come take note. Kshe'arad Yosef l'mitzrayim ha'ya ben 17 shana. Joseph goes down to Egypt, so the verse tells us he was 17 years old. Uvomdo l'fnei paro ha'ya ben 30 shana. And the verse tells us that when Joseph stands before Pharaoh, he's 13 years old. V'sheva shnei savan. Now, Joseph tells Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream. He says there are going to be 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. So Joseph is 30 when the story begins, and then 7 years of plenty. And then when Joseph reveals himself to the brothers, he says, there have only been 2 years of famine. There's still plenty left to go. Why don't you all come down to Egypt? So you see, when Joseph reveals himself to the brothers, it is 9 years after Joseph was appointed viceroy. And so, Hare Shloshim Ateisha Shana. So Joseph is 39 years old when all the brothers come down to Egypt. Leviven, yes, so far the math is easy. Joseph is 39 years old when all the brothers come down to Egypt. Leviven Yaakov Yagadon Yosef Sheshanim. Now, if you do the math in Parshas Vayetze, Levi was born 6 years before Yosef was. So he was 6 years Yosef senior. So he's coming down to Egypt. He was 45 years old when he came down to Egypt because he was 6 years older than Yosef. Now the Torah says that Levi lived in Egypt 92 years because Shneimar, the verse says, it says Levi lived to the age of 137. So that means he lived down in Egypt 92 years. We have a tradition that Yocheved, Moshe's mother, was born when Levi went down to Egypt. That means when Levi died, Yocheved was 92 years old. Now, how old was she when she gave birth to Moshe? 130 years old. Add to that the 80 years. It says Moshe was 80 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. What do you have? 80 plus 130, 210. So we were in Egypt a total of 210 years. That's the count. So why does God tell Abraham they will make him work for 400 years? אמר לו רבי אלעזר בן ערך, לא אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא לאברהם, אלא משעה שהיה לו זרע. רבי אלעזר בן ערך answers, he says, God told him, when you have a seed, it's going to take 400 years. שנאמר כי גר יהיה זרעך. God says, your seed will be sojourners, they will be foreigners, they will not be owners, masters of the land, for 400 years. God doesn't say we'll be in Egypt for 400 years. So the second Isaac is born, so there's a seed of Abraham that's living in a foreign land, they don't own Canaan yet. So there you have the fulfillment of 400 years. שנאמר כי גר יהיה זרעך, וכתיב כי ויצחק יקרא לך זרע. ומשנולד יצחק ועד שיצאו ישראל ממצרים 400 שנה. So from when Isaac was born till the exodus from Egypt was 400 years. אמר לו רבי יוחנן בן זכאי ולא כתיב ומושב בני ישראל שישובו ממצרים 30 שנה ו400 שנה. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked him a question, but the verse says, we lived in Egypt for 430 years. Amar lo 210 yashvu yisrael mitzrayim. So he said to him, you're right, but in truth, we lived in Egypt 210. V'chamesh shanim ad shelo v'yakov nemitzrayim noldu lo shnei shvatim Yosef v'nashev v'Ephraim v'emin ha-shvatim. But 5 years earlier, you had Yosef with his two sons in Egypt, so you have 215 in Egypt. You see that Yosef's children are considered like the tribes, as the verse says, Ephraim u'mnashe k'uvem shimon yuli, harei 215 shana. So he tells him an interesting calculation. He says, it turns out that we were in Egypt 215 years, right? Two tribes were there 5 years earlier, and the rest of us were there for 210. We were there a total of 215 years, and they made us work day and night. So yamim v'leilot harei 430 shana. So he says, okay. So it counts as double. If you're working day and night, so they work the double workload. So that's how 215 ends up to be 430. Okay? Shedileg et haketz b'zchut avot shem givot olam. God jumped over to make the end come quicker. In the merit of the patriarchs, they're considered like the hills of the world. That's a code. The Medrash just told us a code for all of Tanakh. When you see the word giv'ah, a hilltop in Tanakh, very often it's a code for the deeper meaning of the patriarchs. The verses will very often speak about hilltops, and if you know the deeper meaning of those verses, they're talking about the patriarchs. Yes?
So, two things. First, with regards to what you just said, so that means when they're saying in Hallel, in Tehillim, the hills will skip, they're referring to the patriarchs skipping. Somehow,
correct.
Maybe upon Tchiyat HaMeitim, when they see all of their entire prodigy redeemed, that's awesome. Yeah. Second of all, can you remind me what you were saying about Levi and coming down to Egypt later? I didn't understand that.
I said, right, thank you. We said that Yosef was 39 years old when he revealed himself to the brothers and they came down to Egypt. Levi was 6 years older than Yosef. That means Levi was 45 years old when they came down to Egypt. Right? And Levi was 45, and at that point he had the daughter Yocheved. So that means that when Levi passes away at 137 years old, his daughter Yocheved is 92. And then, he doesn't go into the calculations, but it was 33 years later that she had Moshe. So then that means that from the time they went down to Egypt, you had 130 years until Moshe was born. Add to that the 80 years that Moshe was 80 years old when he shows up before Pharaoh, the Torah says, and you get 210 years that the tribe spent in Egypt.
So what exactly was the reference or the code that hills equals patriarchs?
That's something we find in many different sources. He's going to say it now. He says that when the verse says in the Song of Songs, my beloved is coming skipping over the hilltops, that means God skipped over many of the years that we should have spent in exile through the hilltops, through the patriarch's merits, who are called the hilltops. Now, this is a unique source. Ordinarily, we say the mountaintops are the patriarchs, the hilltops are the matriarchs. That's what the Talmud says. That's the code that we usually find. That the mountaintops are the patriarchs, the hilltops are the matriarchs. And the truth is, there's an overt verse that says that the mountain from which we were quarried is Avraham Avinu. Says that God tells the people, go look at where you were taken out of. And the idea is, when you quarry out a stone from a mountain, so you could look back at the mountain and see what the stone's supposed to look like. So God says, look, right, if you cut out a stone from the mountain, what?
Yeshayahu
means. So the idea is that we come from Avram, and we should be like Avram. Avram was unique. If Avram is...
Every Jew is like Avram.
Right.
But in other way, every Jew must be like Avram.
Okay. So that's... The patriarchs are called the mountaintops. But let's continue. V'alem ha-ketuv omer, and about the patriarchs, the verse says, Kol dodin ez mamdaleg al-harim mekapetz la-gvorot. I hear the voice of my beloved. He's coming. He's skipping over the mountaintops and the hilltops. So that means he skipped all those years and the merits of the patriarchs and matriarchs. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol tan shanin shayu Yisrael shvim b'mitzrayim yoshvim betach v'sha'anan. Now we're beginning the Medrash that I wanted you guys to hear. The Medrash discusses what it was like to live in Egypt. And the Medrash says, initially we lived in Egypt and we had great security. No bombings, no attacks. Everything was nice. Yeah, the king is our brother. Yosef's our brother. So long as we accepted our responsibility to be in exile, to be humble. So we maintained our job, and everything was good. Until one of the aristocrats, Yignon, he came along and v'amar niglal ha'kadosh baruch hu lotzi etchem mimitzrayim. He led a rebellion. Everything was fine. The Egyptians didn't feel threatened. We didn't have any issue. We accepted our responsibility to stay there in servitude until Yignon comes and says, God appeared to me, told me to take you out of Egypt. B'nei Ephraim begiut libam. The descendants of Ephraim were haughty. Shayu mizera melucha. Their grandfather was the king. Remember, they're descendants of Yosef. V'giborei choach b'milchama. And they were very powerful warriors. Amdu v'lakhu nesheim bnei uvnotem yatzu mimitzrayim. So they decided, no one's telling us what to do. They grabbed their wives and kids and left. So they left Egypt without visas. They left Egypt without asking for permission. V'ratfu ha-mitzrim achayim. Now they're going against God's declaration. God says, don't leave Egypt. Your job is to be there now. And they decide they're going back. So the Egyptians give chase, Valgutam, and the Egyptians were victorious. They killed out most of the tribe of Ephraim. Shneimar, the verse says, Matayim elef kulam giburim bnei Ephraim noshekei kashet. The verse says they were 200,000 warriors from Ephraim, all killed at this time. Rabbi Yanai omer v'alo lo evidu mitzrayim et Yisrael el ha'sha achat miyomo shel ha'kadosh baruch hu. Rabbi Yanai says, you want to know how long we suffered in Egypt? An hour. But remember, God's day is 1,000 years. So if you want to know what an hour is, you got to do 1/24th of 1,000. How much is that? 83 shanim ushlish shana. 83 1/3 years. Achelonulad Moshe till Moshe died. Till Moshe was born. So 83 1/3. Let's see. Let's do the math. Just a second. We'll do the math. We want 1,000 divided by 24, right? Yeah, 1,000 years divided by 24 hours in a day. That's what it should be, right? Divided by 24. No, so they were doing a day. They're doing it divided by 12. Because divided by 24, it comes out half that, right? 83 1/3 is divided by 12. That's one hour of a day. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay. 83 shanim ushlish shana ad shelo nolad Moshe. So there were 83 1/3 years until Moshe was born. That's the time we were in servitude. The Egyptians then said, there's a child's going to be born, he's going to take the Jews out of Egypt. So Pharaoh says, can't have that, throw all the boys into the Nile. He figured he'll get thrown in with them. Pharaoh thought this way, I'll overcome him. This happened 3 1/3 years before Moshe was born. After Moshe was born, his sorcerers said, we see in the sky, he was born. The Savior of Israel was born, but we don't know where he is, he's hidden. So Pharaoh says, okay, so stop throwing the babies into the Nile. But make their fathers work hard. If their fathers work hard, then they won't be able to educate their kids. And then they won't have any leader come out of them. No education, no leadership. So Pharaoh says, make the fathers work hard. So they embittered their lives with hard work. And the idea was, they'll have no strength when they come home to bring up their kids. Their kids will grow up as animals. You won't have a leader that can do anything. What does God do? God does the exact opposite. Right? Moshe grows up in their most aristocratic home. He grows up with the greatest education.
Irony of God has a lot, a big sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, not talking like this, but it's not like this. I mean, a flower grows, it smells very nice when you put in the dirt or something. It's something crazy in this world. I mean, when it's, you have tremendous problems, then you must have a very, very good soul. But I don't like this, but this is it.
Yeah. Rabbi Nathanael Omer, Ro Avotav Shemashet Aro Shemashet Kamalach Elokim. Moshe's forefathers saw that he looks like an angel when he was born. They see a baby, doesn't look like any other baby, something unique. Malot Oto Shemna Yamin. They circumcised him when he was 8 days old. V'karu Shmo Yekutiel. What did they name him? Yekutiel. What was Moshe's real name? Yekutiel. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tov Karu Oto. Rabbi Shimon says they named him Tov. Shnemar, the verse says, V'tere Oto Ki Tov Hu. For 3 months they could keep him in the cellar. For 3 months they could keep him underground. After 3 months they couldn't do it anymore. So she put him in this crate and put him in the Nile. God sees everything. Pharaoh's daughter was covered with all kinds of boils and blemishes. She couldn't handle any hot water. She was feverish. All her boils were blistering over. She needed something cool to cool off in. So what does she do? She goes down to the Nile to cool off. And she sees this child crying. So she extends her hand and takes in the baby. So you think maybe the baby, maybe it's contagious. As she picks up the baby, she gets cured. She said, okay, this child is something special. This child is some pious child. She said, he's going to stay alive. We have a rule. You save one Jewish life, it's like you saved the whole world. And anyone who kills a soul of Israel, it's as though he destroyed a whole world. And that's why the daughter of Pharaoh married it. She saved one life. She married it to become a part of Israel. You think her name was Batya? That's not her name. The Torah gives her that name. Batya, the daughter of God. Yes. Very often, Gerim take on names that indicate they're the son of God because they've come in under God. And so, that was Batya's name. Moshe grew up. He was the child prodigy in Paro's palace. Everyone was cooing to Moshe. He grew up royalty. Only when Moshe grew up did he go out to see his brothers. But you see, until he grew up, he had all the amenities of the castle. Everyone loved him. So Moshe goes out into the camp of Israel. He sees an Egyptian beating one of the people of Kehos, which was one of his brethren from the tribe of Levi. Remember, one of Levi's children is Kehos. So that's where Moshe is a descendant. It's one of his family members. Shneimar, Vayarish Mitzrim Akei Shivrim Echav. He saw this Egyptian man beating a Hebrew man from his brethren. Why does it say from his brethren? To tell you it was a cousin of Moshe's. It was his cousin being beaten. He started cursing the Egyptian. And using the sword of his lips, using his curse, he killed him. And he hid him among the Jewish camp. When it says he hid him in the sand, sand is a code for Israel. The verse says, Israel will be like the sand by the sea. The number of Israel will be like the sand of the sea. The next day he comes out, and he doesn't see an Egyptian beating a Jew, but rather two Jews beating one another. They were the famous Dasan and Aviram. He tells the wicked one, what are you hitting your friend for? So Dasan says to him, you're going to kill me like you killed him yesterday? You're going to say some heejee-beejee and kill me? Shnemar, as the verse says, who appointed you judge? Are you going to kill me the way you said, the way you killed the Egyptian? So when Moshe and Aaron come before Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, who is Hashem? I don't know. So Paro says, I don't know Hashem. I'm not sending the Jews. Aaron throws his staff on the ground. It turns into a snake, a fiery snake. So Pharaoh calls his sorcerers. They do the same thing. So Aaron's staff runs up and swallows all the rest. Moshe sticks his hand into his chest, pulls it out, it's all covered with white, it's like a leper. So the sorcerers do the same trick. Any plague that Moshe, that God brought on the Egyptians, they were able to repeat. Till God brought the plague of boils. They couldn't do that. Now, at first glance, the Medrash seems to be disjointed.
Which year was...
Just 1 second. The Medrash began by telling us the 210 years in Egypt. Moshe is born, so they stop throwing babies into the Nile. Moshe goes out and saves the Hebrew. And the Medrash continues from there to the story of Dathan and Aviram, and Moshe and Aaron standing before Pharaoh. What's the connection? Is it all just telling us a story? Or is there a connection between the beginning of the story, Batya having boils and being cured from the boils through Moshe and then becoming a monotheist, and the Egyptian sorcerers being plagued with boils and not being able to repeat that? That was the first plague that they couldn't keep up with, and suddenly they say, this is God. So through boils, Batya recognizes it's God. Her father still doesn't recognize God, but through boils, his own sorcerers will tell him, no, no, this is God. Maybe. We'll pick up here, B'zach Hashem, next time with a continuation about the atrocities that the Egyptians committed against the Jews. B'zach Hashem, to be continued.